of the Birds and Bees podcast. We have Kristen Jensen, who wrote the book Good Pictures, Bad Pictures and Good Pictures, Bad Pictures Jr. And we are big, big fans of her work and are excited to talk with her today.
Kristen, we're so glad to have you here. Welcome to the Birds and the Bees.
Thank you, Mary Flo and Megan. It's wonderful to be here with you.
So we, at our line of work, we are encouraging and equipping parents to have conversations with their kids about sex from a young age and, you know, over and over again throughout the years. And with your work, you are encouraging parents to talk to their kids about pornography, which, similar to sex, is a topic that most parents think, oh, I won't talk to my kids about that until way later. And so you are also encouraging parents to talk to their kids about pornography when they're very young, which sounds really scary. but your book does such a great job of breaking it down into age-appropriate ways. So to kind of get started, we just want to hear your story. How did you get here? How did you write this book? What kind of prompted this?
Yeah, what's a nice girl like me doing fighting pornography? Something I never actually wanted to do until one day we moved to a new city and I met a woman. She had a large family and we connected over Facebook and she asked if we could talk one evening. So got on the phone and we talked till 1:30 in the morning. And basically it was about her 17-year-old son who had, that found out that he had been sexually molesting his younger brothers and sisters from the 14-year-old down to the 4-year-old. And pornography was involved. So I woke up the next morning and I just felt compelled to find a resource for young children, mostly to give to this woman, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a book. I just firmly believe there's like a book for every problem, yeah. Right? And usually multiple. So I thought, okay, I'm going to find her a book, give her this book. This is a terrible situation. And I couldn't find any. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Mm-hmm. And as I did more research, I realized this is a huge problem. Mm-hmm. So I decided to, and I thought, you know, I did some preliminary research and I thought, this isn't rocket science. I mean, you know, you could probably boil this down and explain it to a 7-year-old or, you know, 9-year-old and then they could be warned and, you know, and so I thought, you know, it'll take me a couple of weeks in the summer. Like, how hard could this be? So I'm the kind of person that jumps in the pool or jumps in the water and then figures out how to swim. So that's basically, it took me 3 years to get to write it. And I tested it over and over and to get it published. But it was published in 2014. We're now in our second edition.
What year was the conversation with that woman?
2011.
Okay.
And that was a year after the iPad came out. Right.
Wow. Yes. Yes.
So we're now fully in the iPad, you know, every 3-year-old
can
seems to have
that.
Access to a tablet of some sort and the internet. So I got asked actually by several parents to write a junior version, a simpler version. So I did that came out in 2017 and every print run that we do, I kind of update the book. Mm-hmm. And keep it current and make sure the science is caught up and everything like that. So anyway, that's my story. It's just, you know, heard about this horrible problem, just felt compelled. And it's interesting because before this, I didn't want to have anything to do with this problem.
Yes.
And run away. Yes. And I think, and because I felt that way, I know how parents feel, you know, I don't even want to think about it. I don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. But after I heard this compelling, tragic story, saw what it did to her family, to her children, and it's gone on to harm, you know, her children. Mm-hmm. One of her sons ended up in jail for child molestation, child sexual abuse and child pornography. And he was the one that would not go to counseling, I will say. Mm-hmm. So counseling can help. So anyway, that's my story. And that's how I started. And I was just going to write the book and get it out there and then go find a real job. Uh-huh. Because, you know, I launched my kids, they were in college and, you know, college is a little expensive. So I thought I'll go back to work and get a real job. And my husband just kept begging me, no, we'll make it. Just, you know, keep with this. And so, yeah, it kind of turned into my real job now.
It became your real job.
A real job.
Yeah.
You tell people that you're in the porn industry.
I've had people walk up to me and say, you're the porn lady. Yeah, and I'm like, yeah.
Do I look like your porn lady? Like, oh, honestly,
yeah. I'm the anti-porn lady.
Yes.
Anti-porn lady. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Well, we are so grateful for your work. My kids are 8, 6, and 3, and we have read the junior version several times. Every time we speak, on our online course, we recommend Good Pictures, Bad Pictures to everybody that will listen to us.
Awesome.
And I remember one time after a speaking program, a mom came up to me and said, we read Good Pictures, Bad Pictures before every play date. And at first I was like, whoa, you're intense. And then I was like, you know what? Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea.
That's a good idea. That is a good idea. And now because kids do show.
Oh yeah.
You know, I had a mom tell me that she went to pick up her daughters from a play date and she saw them in the front yard and the girl that they'd been playing with was showing them something on a cell phone. Mm-hmm. And they were young, you know, 8, 7, somewhere in there. And and maybe even younger, they got in the car and she said, what was she showing you on her cell phone? And they looked at each other and they're like, it was a My Little Pony video. And they lied because they didn't have the vocabulary to tell their mother what they saw. And they knew that it wasn't okay. And I often say it's, you know, pornography is shameful, especially the fact that we let it be so accessible to kids, but it's not shameful to talk about. So when she read them Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, several months later, they told their mom, they said, it wasn't My Little Pony. It was pornography we saw. Wow. She showed us pornography. So she was so grateful that she had this, I don't know. It was just made it easy, right? Mm-hmm.
It turned the light on.
Talk about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about how it's out there. It's very likely that at some point your children will see it, but turning the light on and giving them a plan, that's what I think is so. I compare it to teachers, you know, your school teachers are telling your children, stop, drop, and roll. Like just, this is what you do. Mm-hmm. And this is like a stop, drop, and roll for pornography. You know, you know to go to your parents, you know what to call it, and it turns the light on and it takes, I just love what you just said. Pornography is shameful, but talking about it is not. So that's very,
yeah. Turning the light, you know, on a dark topic, it really puts our kids in control instead of pornography. So we need to shine the light on pornography so our kids can see the truth and see, you know, the danger. Otherwise they don't know. You know, they really don't know.
And I love what you said about kids know it's shameful. You know, they don't have to, you could have said no words to them about you have had no sex education in the house or no good pictures, bad pictures. But if they see, God forbid, they see a picture, a pornographic image, they know deep down that was wrong. Like they know it's shameful. Yeah. They know it's wrong. And so I feel like these conversations we can have with our kids, it's essentially like throwing a life raft to them or a ladder to get out of this dark pit of like, this is what my mom told me about. This is what I do now. And these are the words I have in the action plans. And so again, it's instead of leaving our kids in this dark pit, we're kind of throwing them a rope to get out. Because once we bring this dark topic to light, it's not as powerful. You know, the stories that are really heartbreaking that we've heard, and I'm sure you've heard so many more, are the parents that talk to their child who have been in this, kind of pornography trap for years. And just the secrecy and time that it builds, that is where real danger start. The child who sees something by accident one time and goes straight to their parent. I mean, that's still not ideal, but the damage but is much less.
Yes. It's resolved.
Yeah.
What you have given parents too with this, with these books is what we like to call an internal filter. Like we can do a lot of filters on, on their devices, and parents do the best they can to defend their children from damaging and degrading images. But giving them these internal filters is by far, because they will be on devices that don't have filters. They need that internal filter.
Yeah, they'll be, because the internal filter is really the only filter that will go with them wherever they go.
Right.
And the thing is this, filters are great. I highly recommend filters. There's one called Canopy that you can go on our website and read about, and we have a code for it. But and even they recognize that kids need an internal filter. Right. So because a filter, no matter how good it is, no matter how high tech it is not going to persuade your child to reject the whole concept of pornography. Right. It's not going to touch the heart and soul of your child and teach them, you know, a better way. And that, you know, sexual intimacy in their future when they're ready is something that can be beautiful and life-giving and helpful and loving and all those good things. And pornography is the exact opposite. It's the toxic, you know, counterfeit of sex. And so, yeah, we need to give our kids a foundation. We need to persuade them, right? We need to give them a disposition, create a disposition in them so that they have a certain attitude. When they see pornography, then they're going to know to reject it. And if we're the first ones talking to them about it, we have the power, we have the influence.
Right.
If we let the world and their friends and, you know, whoever else talk to them first, then we've lost that advantage. Not saying we can't still be an influence, because we can and we should. But there is there's really power in beginning that conversation early.
Right. And I mean, that is something we are both sitting here nodding our heads. If you can't see us.
That's what we do.
Yeah. Cause that's our mission statement, you know, is we want parents to talk to their kids about sex. Now, obviously pornography is a, under this umbrella, but, it's a scary topic for parents to dive into. Like, well, I don't want my 7-year-old to know about this. Oh my goodness. Like, that's way too young. But what you're explaining is the power of the first impression. You know,
and sooner is safer.
Sooner is safer. And we always say later is better than never. So don't panic if you've never said anything.
That's right.
But sooner is safer. And the power of the first impression is parents, if we can start those conversations young, they view us as the experts. And we want to be that authority in their lives when it comes to this topic, when it comes to technology safety, you know, all these things in their lives. We want to be the experts and the authority. And the only way to get there is by starting these conversations when they're young. And I think so often parents are just overwhelmed by sex education, overwhelmed by pornography and technology, where it's like, oh, that's just too scary, or that's too dark, or I don't want to, not my kid, or we're never doing that. And so it's almost this stick your head in the sand kind of mentality. And we just tell parents over and over again, that is not going to help your child.
One thing I wanted to say, so I'll just jump in here. Sometimes parents think that if their children don't know anything, they are innocent, and they out of a sense of protecting their innocence, well, we're just not going to read that book about pornography, because then they won't be innocent anymore. But actually talking to their children will protect their innocence, and innocence and ignorance are not equal. They're not the same thing. And so we need to have children who are innocently aware of what's going on. And in order to do the best we can to preserve that innocence, they need to know what is out there, because otherwise they're vulnerable, and then they won't be. They will have exposure that you're not aware of. So
absolutely. They'll be caught off guard, And none of us do very well when we're caught off guard mm-hmm. in a situation. But if someone has prepared us, we can then, you know, use the plan and, right. and protect ourselves, defend ourselves. I call it digital defense skills, digital self-defense, mm-hmm. because kids need that. And I will say this, although we long for our children to be innocent, that's not actually the goal. I think the goal is wisdom mm-hmm. and for our children to learn to choose the good over the bad. And,
right.
and, in very, you know, that's not very nuanced. I realize that, but in a child's world, there's good and there's bad. And so that's why I call it good pictures, bad pictures. But I was going to also say that, tell you a story about a young boy. This is one of my favorite stories. He was 9 years old. His mother had read him good pictures, bad pictures. So he had, you know, 3 days later, he was on at school on the playground, and a classmate came up with a cell phone, showed him pornography. And this little child knew mm-hmm. what to do. He went home to his mom and he told her, and he said, "I was scared, but I knew what to do." Mm. Right? "I was scared, but I knew what to do." We are unburdening our children mm-hmm. when we give them a plan, when we open up. We're giving them like a place to go to talk about these things.
Yes.
And if they don't have a place to go, they'll just talk amongst themselves. And one thing I will say, they've been doing some studies that show that parents are not very aware of the negative experiences their kids are having online. Mm-hmm. And so they call that the naivete gap. Mm-hmm. And so they did a study recently in the UK, and 25% of the parents said, "Yeah, I think my kids have seen porn." When they ask those parents' kids, mm-hmm. their very own kids, "Have you seen pornography?" 53% said they'd seen pornography.
Wow.
So huge, more than double, right? Huge naivete gap. And we need to get over that to help our kids, to give them some support so that they can thrive in the digital world and not be hurt by it, right? Not be a victim of it, but thrive and be successful and grow up to be happy and healthy and resilient and screen smart.
Right. And I think that's the goal. I mean, I think for me as a mom raising young kids right now, I think you can't avoid this, you know. With little bitties, you can kind of think, well, we're just not doing screens, or we don't do that. But as we're getting into elementary school and beyond, it's like, no, we are navigating this, and you have to engage. And something we say a lot is just how we as parents should preempt situations in order to prepare. And Perfect. That is essentially what your book is doing. But we do this all the time with situations in our kids without even realizing it. You know, like if they're going to the dentist, we preempt that situation for them. "Okay, babe, we're going to the dentist today. Remember, we'll sit in the waiting room. Dr. So-and-so will come out. He's wearing his mask. He'll pull it down. We go through all these steps. So when they get there and things happen, this is just what my mom told me, you know, or first day of school jitters, all those things. We walk ahead of our children and yes. plan out these situations.
Yes.
Us preempting these situations with them prepares them and protects them. And so the same can be said with conversations about sex, conversations about pornography. So when they hear something else or they see something else, they know, oh, this is what my mom or dad, this is what my parents were telling me. And so it's kind of this track of familiarity that they've already walked because we went ahead of them. And that is so empowering for young kids. And I think if parents can realize these seem like scary topics, these seem like scary ideas, but if we break it down into age-appropriate ways, this is not that scary. I mean, we talk to kids about the dangers in their lives all the time. You know, don't touch the stove, it's hot, or don't jump in the pool without a grown-up there. So they know what is okay and what's not okay. And we just need to help them see and really teach parents to see, you know, technology is dangerous. There are some really good things on there, but it can be dangerous too. So we just need to be careful. And so I think your book does such a great job just taking this scary topic and breaking it down. And that's mm-hmm. what we want to do at Birds and Bees is really just empower parents. And I think your work that does the same. And that is something that we just want parents, especially in this digital era, is to realize like, this is scary, but you can do this. Like, this does not have to be that scary.
Right.
And you've made you've made it so simple. And that's what we appreciate too.
That is one of the things that people say about the book is that it's so comfortable mm-hmm. and they think it's just going to be so awkward, but it isn't. It's so comfortable. And we've tested it and, you know, really worked hard to make it super easy to help parents. But I will say we did write it so that you can read these books to kids even before you begin to talk about the birds and the bees. Mm-hmm. But when every time I say that in the same breath, I say, but you should start that talk sooner rather than later, because I'll tell you what, I did a research project about 3 years ago where we talked to 10 people who said that they were addicted to pornography or had been addicted to pornography. So they had been addicted or they were in recovery. And we did some really in-depth interviews because we were trying to figure out why kids go to pornography. What were the, mm-hmm. all the different reasons that they hire, I'm using air quotes, hire pornography to do a job for them. So one of the jobs is to learn about sex. So mm-hmm. kids hire porn to teach them, you know, about sex, you know, porn. My mom, my dad won't talk to me about this. I hear these kind of off-color jokes. I hear these cues. I know I'm missing something. I need to learn about this. And kids do need to learn. You know, they're just curious because uh-huh. they need to learn to grow up and be adults. And so there's something important out there. I need to learn about it. And pornography is free, accessible, anonymous. Uh-huh. It's the perfect product to hire,
right.
The perfect service to hire. If you don't have parents, it's not perfect. Obviously it's terrible,
right?
But for in a kid's mind, when they're out there looking, how right. can I actually learn about sex? My parents won't talk to me about it. I don't feel comfortable talking to my grandparents about it. I don't have a teacher that will tell me anything. So I'm going to go to pornography because my friends have been telling me to do that. So what we found is that every single one of the 10 people did not have any kind of sex ed in their home. They did mm-hmm. not have it. Wow. Their parents did not talk to them about sex. And the few that had very, you know, touched on it, but were just very brief,
like here's
didn't really get into it. Yeah. And not even that. None of them were even given a book, nothing. And so of course they hired porn. Why wouldn't they?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, you can understand that. If we don't do our job as parents to preempt, as you mm-hmm. said, the world out there, their media out there, their friends, then of course they're going to go to whatever source they can easily find. And pornography is really easy to find.
Very easy.
So exactly. Yeah.
Well, we Google a lot of things we're curious about, right? So we've taught our children, if you want an answer, just ask Siri or, you know,
look it up.
Let's look that up.
Yeah.
And that this is, so they've kind of picked up on that a little bit, but that is exactly, I do feel like Kristen, your work and our work really go hand in hand because teaching your small children about the beauty of God's design, teaching them about seeds and eggs and simple things like that. Talking about birth, how does a baby come out of there? If you want to incorporate your faith, that's fine. If you don't, and just you want to use the biology, but children are born curious, and we need to, even if our children don't ask specific questions, we need to ask them, have you ever wondered exactly how that baby got in there? We need to enter into their realm of curiosity and start to plant those seeds so that they know, oh, I didn't know you could talk about that. But yes. being willing to take the initiative with our children instead of using the excuse, well, they never asked. Well, we haven't given them the vocabulary to ask. We haven't given them the permission to ask. So I think this is so great because you're exactly right. You are talking about the dark place they land if they don't get these conversations. And we're talking about how good it is for families if you will start these conversations. It's sort of pick your pain, the slight pain of an awkward conversation versus the pain of the story you started with.
Yeah, it gets much worse. There was an 8-year-old girl. Her mother taught her about babies, where babies come from and all that when she was 8 years old. And then she handed her an internet-enabled device, but didn't mention pornography, didn't mention it.
Right.
She just did not even, it was not even on her radar. And this little girl decided, just like you said, I want to know more about this. I'm going to type in S-E-X, sex, into the search browser, you know, and, you know, what did she come up with?
Wow.
Porn, right? So she was watching pornography for months before her parents found out. And in those months, she definitely had a personality change.
Mm-hmm.
She just wanted to kind of be in her bedroom alone with her device. She wasn't outgoing and bubbly and happy like she had been. It started to really affect her. And thankfully, those parents did the right thing and got her some counseling. But we need to warn our children early. And the sooner we start those conversations, the easier it's going to be. It's just going to be one more thing that my parent tells me about. Parent warns me about running out in the street. You know, my parent warns me about not touching the hot stove. My parent warns me about all these things. It's just one more thing that we can teach our children. And I can't tell you how many people have come up to me after just anywhere and they recognize me and they say, I wish my parents had had your book.
Mm-hmm.
And I know then, and I see the pain in their face, and I know that they've had problems with pornography and that it's really, you know, hurt their lives and it's been painful. So absolutely, Mary Flo, pick your pain.
Exactly.
A little pain at the beginning or a whole lot of pain and money.
Yeah.
I have had parents, I mean, this gets extreme, but kids, once they get into pornography, just like the story I told at the beginning, they can say, well, I'm going to act this out with other children.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's normal. They are imitative.
Right.
Right. And so what? That leads to this child-on-child harmful sexual behavior, which depending on the state you're in, I mean, it can be such a nightmare. And these children are also victims. You know, porn was the perpetrator. Many of these kids that act out on other children don't have a hands-on perpetrator. It was simply they were looking at porn and then they wanted to try it out on other vulnerable children. And so I honestly have talked to one mother. They sold their house to afford a treatment program for their son who had acted out on another child, big problems. We can prevent this.
Right.
We can prevent this, you know, to a great degree, a great degree. We can lessen the risk for our children by just simply opening up to them and telling them the truth, not the whole big, horrible, toxic thing, but giving them a definition, a simple age-appropriate definition. Mm-hmm. That's one. Two, a warning so they understand why pornography is harmful to their young growing brain. And three, a plan.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll know what to do and they won't be caught off guard. And little children, they listen, they learn. And they can do this, and it saves them from child abuse. It saves them from abusing other children. It saves them from a life of addiction. Like, there's such a downside to not talking. The upside is huge if we'll just start those conversations. And so hopefully my books and other resources that we have on defendyoungminds.com are helpful to parents to do that job and to continue doing that so that they raise empowered, resilient, screen smart kids, again, that are thriving in the digital age.
And we are so grateful for your work and just pioneering in this dark world. But I think, like Mary Flo said, it's just, and we say this to parents a lot, of this pornography as a whole is a very dark world, but these conversations we can have with our young kids just turns the lights on and it takes some of that power away. And even with my three kids, like I said earlier, we have not used the word porn, but they know about good pictures and bad pictures, you know? So I think some parents hear all this conversation like, well, I just, I don't know if I can do this yet. And this, they seem awfully young. And these are lots of conversations. You don't read this book once. You don't talk about this topic once, you know? So for my family, you know, we've talked about good pictures and bad pictures several times, and we haven't introduced the word porn yet or pornography. We will, you know, but, just to encourage parents too, that this is little by little, as we say at Birds and Bees, it's drip by drip by drip. You know, this is not have to be this big bombshell all the time. And my kids sometimes even come to me if they see something scary on TV. You know, we were watching a bunch of football this weekend and a movie preview came on the commercial. And it was scary. And one of them said, "Mom, it's a bad picture." And so to them, something really violent can be scary and or bad, you know, and that's okay. You know, I think I want them to know, that's, you know, okay, well, if you see something bad, let's look away, you know, let's come in here until the game comes back on. So it's just these practices and drip by drip conversations that really help train their little minds, and to be screen smart, like you said, because I think the reality is you can't just say, well, we don't have screens.
Screens are not going away.
Yeah. Screens are not going away.
We used to tell our children before the age of technology, when so much technology and screens, you know, there's something in our house and we use it and it's useful to us. But if you were to ingest it, it would eat at your stomach. And so I have locked it under the kitchen sink, but we still need it. We have it. But now there aren't locks on. When you were little, we locked the kitchen sink, but now it's still there. It's called Clorox. And we use it for certain things, but it can't be ingested because it would eat away. If you ever did swallow it, you would have to come straight to me so that we could go to poison control. You can't just hide it in your body and let it eat away at you. There's also something in our house called a computer. I mean, this is how old my kids are. It's the World Wide Web. And there are things on there. This is before I knew about your book, so just warning them. And in those days, we need our computer. We're not going to throw our computer away. We've put as many locks on it as we can so that you can't accidentally get to it. But if you were to ingest pictures that are not good, it will eat away at your mind in the same way. So you need to come to me. Think of me as poison control. And that's like Clorox in your body. It's going to eat away at you. So,
which is exactly what we use in Good Pictures, Bad Pictures Junior, that picture poison. And we make that analogy because young kids usually understand that analogy. Yeah. They've been taught that there are certain things that you can't ingest, you can't take, drink or eat, and that are poison. So it is the same thing for the mind. It's a very hopeful, I guess I want to just be very hopeful about this, because if we train our young children, they stand a chance. They can make a good decision. If we never say a word and just cross our fingers, you know, the cross your fingers plan, that isn't working. It hasn't been working, and it's probably not going to work. And a child that is unaware of the danger is a vulnerable child. So you want to have an innocent child? Again, I don't think that's the goal. The goal is to have a resilient child, a wise child, a child that knows how to reject pornography. And sometimes when I speak, I ask the whole audience to say the word pornography.
Yeah.
Just to kind of like, you can say this word, like get in the shower, say it, practice this, saying this word, because once we like take it on and have power over it and just say it, it's like, it's not going to make us scared anymore. It's not going to make us afraid. We're going to take control of the situation, and we're going to train our children And it works. I have so many stories of parents. One story and one other point I wanted to make is that children are not only safer from, you know, getting into pornography, but they're safer from sexual abuse because predators use pornography to groom children. And one of the parents that follow us at Defend Young Minds wrote in and told us about how her six-year-old son got out of a very dangerous situation because she had read him good pictures, bad pictures. They went over to a friend's house for dinner and they were doing some remodeling. So they had put all the kids' toys down in the basement and they are each to run down the stairs, grab a toy and run back up. Well, this little six-year-old ran down and, you know, he was there looking and sometimes kids, you know, which toy, mm-hmm. and the renter, there was a renter in the basement. He came over to this little boy, showed him gay porn on his, you know, he says, look at this. This is really fun. You know, we could do this together. Started grooming this child, but that child at age six knew exactly what he was seeing. He recognized that's a bad picture, right? And he ran upstairs and told his mom, I think that was kind of the end of that dinner party.
Yeah. Only imagine.
He told his mom, and imagine though, if he'd never at age six ever had any clue. So we not only teach our children, yes, he could have been pulled in. We teach our kids to respect adults. They look up to us as adults and other people, so they don't mistrust them. And they don't know enough to mistrust a man in a basement with, you know, a cell phone showing him pornography. So, and I've heard other people, they've come up to me and said, your books, you know, protected my son from this situation. So I know it's happening. Mm-hmm. I just have so many stories. We'd be here for hours, but that one story is illustrative of many, 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 many stories that are happening all over the world, all over the country. So get in there early and fortify your child, preempt, like you say, preempt to protect. I love that. We
talk
can do it. We can do
and
hard
talk
things.
Talk to your kids. Talk to your kids about all of it.
And Kristen, I love how overall you want to give hope. Mm-hmm. We're not here to scare parents. We're here to give them a very hopeful, helpful tool. And so we're so glad that you could come on the Birds and the Bees today. So, because this is our audience, is your audience and
we want them to hear this.
We really want them to know about this and, we're going to give them a code and hopefully this will be the hope and the help that they need.
Yeah. You know, kids, really, we need to do everything possible to arm them, to defend them, to give them self-defense skills. And one thing that we've developed recently is called Brain Defense. So mm-hmm. Brain Defense Digital Safety. It's a open and go curriculum, video-based, super easy, no prep needed. And we developed it for 8 to 11. Because that's the age that a lot of these kids are getting into pornography. They may have even been exposed earlier, but as things start to kind of wake up in their bodies, they start to be more interested in, mm-hmm. in sex. Mm-hmm. So we wrote this curriculum to help parents and teachers to arm their children with digital self-defense skills, with refusal skills. And so it covers a wider range of topics than good pictures, bad pictures. For example, it helps with screen time management, mm-hmm. which I know is like the bane of so many parents' existence, like screen time. And we teach children exactly why they need to limit their screen time and teach good digital citizenship. But we also teach them about pornography and what to do. And it's all done by the brain gang. And these are older teens that are wonderful role models. And every single parent that gives us feedback on brain defense, they say, my kids love the brain gang. And so look at brain defense, digital safety. You can find it under the curriculum tab on defendyoungminds.com, or you can go to braindefense.org and find out all about it and see if this might be something to help your family, because it's great if they hear it from you, but if they can hear it from other teens, if they can hear it from other adults in their lives, maybe a faith leader, if you know, you practice a faith tradition, or maybe a teacher, or, you know, other adults, the more places and people that these kids hear it from, the more credible that message becomes.
Right. I love that. Well, we'll definitely put a link to the books that you've written and for brain defense, because that seems like such a great curriculum for kids. Thank you so much for your time today. You have been so instrumental with me as a mom and like with our work at Birds and Bees. So it's been such a joy to talk to you, and we are so grateful for your work. So thank you. Thank you.